I have been really looking forward to hearing and talking with our guests for this hour. It's always a pleasure to have the diversity we have. Last week, it was Joe Crookston joining us. By the way, you can hear these 11 o'clock performances, a steady mix of them when we're not broadcasting live Saturday morning by going to our normal live streaming site. We'll talk with him in a little bit, but first let's listen to the music of Daryl Shawn. Wow, that's Daryl Shawn. That was fun to listen to for a lot of reasons. Tell me about the song first.
Well, Larry, I wrote this song when I was living in Oaxaca, Mexico.
Hang on, I want to be sure we have that mic correctly on you there. Ted, can you be hand for a minute there? Do you have it?
Yeah.
Hang on, he's gonna make a little adjustment. And I'll... Yeah, go ahead and...
Yeah.
We're still missing it. We'll fix it. Tell you what, Tad, quickest thing to do is just cable it up to there, and we'll take it from there. No, yeah, there you go. Sorry about that. Tad's filling in this morning on sound. They're doing a great job, by the way. There you go. Perfect. I gave you a chance to rehearse the first several words of your answer to that question. Tell me about the song again.
Thank you, Larry. So that song was called Montage, and I wrote it when I was living in Oaxaca.
We're going to give you two rehearsals. Okay, you got it now.
Sure. So that song is called Montage, and I wrote it when I was living in Oaxaca, Mexico, where I lived for 5 years. And it's when I was living in Oaxaca that I actually started doing solo guitar music. Up to that point, I'd studied a lot of different music, played in a lot of bands, but that's where I started doing solo guitar. And this is a pretty early song for me.
Yeah, I liked, there's a lot I liked about it. It first made me think a little bit of almost a movie soundtrack, or I was trying to imagine motion. The motion that would be going along with it. There's so many things I want to ask you. Tell me first about the guitar that you're playing. It looks like it's been through a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And is it, you know, I'm not close enough to you to be able to tell. Do you have one steel, several steel strings and several nylon strings, or how is it strung?
Yeah, it's actually, it is a nylon string guitar, basically a classical guitar. I have it set up basically for flamenco. These are flamenco strings. They have a very cool purple tint to the nylon strings. So there's three nylon strings that are purple and hence awesome. And then there's three steel strings. So the three lowest strings are, in fact, steel.
Okay, my eyes are not deceiving
me.
Right.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah, and this guitar, I've had for about 14 years, and I got it pretty much new. So every scar on it, I've put on myself. It actually has a hole through the body on the bottom here. You can't really see it, and I've covered up with layers of plastic and other things now. But you can actually see sunlight through that. I love it. I've tried lots of other guitars, and this is the one I really just stick with.
Do you know who made it?
It's made by Takamine, who's a Japanese company. And I've tried guitars that cost five times as much, and I just like this one.
Now, I've also noticed the bridge. I guess you've got a dollar bill in there to is that a dollar?
Yeah, it's a dollar bill. Yeah, that's actually for the next tune. Just getting that on.
Oh.
Just getting that on deck.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to change the sound a little bit. I'll be doing a couple things during this performance to kind of mess with the tone of the guitar, change things up a little bit. So yeah, that's a dollar bill stuck in the strings, and it's something that I've seen other people do before. And people use matchsticks. They use bits of foam, things like that. And I was playing around and decided that a dollar bill is one thing I'm always sure I'll have because I get lots of tips in dollar bills. So I'll always have a dollar bill in hand, so let me try to use that as my prop.
It's a good idea. That could be a way, you know, I need a dollar to do this next song.
Exactly.
Does anybody have a dollar? And then, you know, it's either going to keep them listening and not walking away, or B, if they walk away, cool, got a buck.
I got a buck.
Next guy.
Exactly.
And as long as they're born every minute, you know, you can make $60 an hour, maybe.
You got it.
Daryl Sean is who is here. And let's take a listen to another song, and we'll talk a little more afterwards. Thank you. Very nice. I hear the effect that dollar bill has. It's brings it all down a little bit, dampens our spirits like Buddy often does.
Yeah, well, you know, what I'm really going for with that effect is the sound of an African instrument called the kora, which is it's sort of a harp that you play with your thumbs.
Yeah, people might call it a thumb piano,
yeah.
Right? And and it does turn those strings into pieces of metal or nylon.
Yeah.
And does give that sound. I didn't think about that until just now.
Yeah, and that song is called Mali Blues, and it's dedicated to the country of Mali, which has produced some amazing musicians, Tumani Diabate and Umo Sangare, all these amazing musicians. And it's having a very it's been a tough few years for the country in between Ebola and people taking over part of the country and actually outlawing music for a period of time. But it's an amazing country that's produced so much great music, and that tune is dedicated to that country.
God, the notion of outlawing music is something to ponder. Daryl Sean is who you're listening to. I'm curious, just a little bit about your life's journey here. Can you sort of, when did you start playing guitar?
Yeah. Well, I was given a guitar for my 16th birthday. Before that, I had played piano, I'd played tuba, I'd played a drum set. When I got the guitar, I just really, really took to it right away. I just liked it so much. And the thing I've always loved is chords. And I just enjoyed that so much. I was always just attracted towards making up my own chords, learning my own chords. And I leaned toward jazz pretty quickly because of the harmonic complexity there. It's really called to me. So I went to Berklee College of Music in Boston for a few years.
When were you there?
I was there in the early 90s. Yeah, I guess 92 to 94. I was there at Berklee.
Might have been the same time. I don't know if you know Eve Goodman here in Pittsburgh.
Yes,
Eve went to Berklee and might have been there around the same time, or maybe not. I may be off a few years.
I love Eve. She's great.
Yeah, my brother was there. It's funny. The way he talks about it, he's a guitarist, is they threw him out. They said he went there to do some advanced work, and they said there's not really much. If you want to come here and play, you can play, but we don't think you should pay us.
Oh, wow.
it was a very nice.
Yeah, that was not their reaction to me.
No, he was. I don't know if I have the story. That's his version of the story.
Yeah. Well, I had a good time at Berklee. I learned lots of basics. I definitely needed work when I was there, learning theory and that sort of thing. But they were going for a particular kind of thing. They're going for kind of straight-up jazz, straight-up studio musician kind of thing. And I always wanted to make my own music. So after a couple years at Berklee, I started studying classical guitar just to sort of expand a bit. Then a few years after that, I started studying flamenco.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lancaster County, Amish country.
Okay. And then you certainly lived in Boston. Did you move to New York after that? Or
No, actually, I moved to San Francisco after that. And I played with a number of very loud rock bands when I was in San Francisco. had a Strat and a Marshall and cranked it all up. And I was there in San Francisco for a while. And after that, then, I moved to Oaxaca. And moved to Oaxaca, I left behind the electric guitar and all that stuff. Just brought along this very guitar just to try to sort of remove myself from the scene I had known and figure out what I wanted to do next. And that's where the solo guitar thing came up. So I was there in Mexico for a while. And I started touring while still in Mexico. And after I left Mexico, then I was pretty much on the road for a couple years, just, staying with family for periods of time, but mainly just touring. Then I settled in New York, in Brooklyn, and then moved here to Pittsburgh last October.
It's I just wanted to kind of get some clarity on that, because it's always interesting to figure out the roads you end up taking. How I hope you like Pittsburgh so far.
I love Pittsburgh.
Always as a native, always happy to hear that said. It can be hard to figure out at the beginning sometimes. I think it's getting a little easier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really felt comfortable here right away, almost more than any other place I've lived out of all the various places. I felt comfortable in Pittsburgh almost right away. It's been just very, very friendly to me. Even though I moved here in October and we went through this terrible winter, I'm so glad that we're coming out of that now. But I just really like everything about the city. I love the architecture. I like the size of it. There's lots going on culturally. I'm really into food, and there's some really good food here.
This afternoon, I'll be going to Shenley Park for Petanque Tonk.
I have been talking about that.
Which has the best name of any event ever.
Most of the morning, I've been talking about Petanque. It's been a while since I've mentioned it, though. I don't think enough people know about Petanque Tonk, but Petanque Tonk is basically a festival of brass band style drumming and African drumming, and there will be brass bands there, protest style bands. That's not exactly the right word, but demonstration type band. You just have to go. It's free. It starts up at 2. It runs until 10. It's the absolute perfect day to go.
Yeah, and it's called Petanque Tonk.
Yeah, it's called Petanque Tonk. I think I've probably been saying Petanque Tonk or Petanque Tonk.
Oh.
Petanque Tonk.
Petanque, doesn't it sound
perfect.
Right?
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah. I think you're right. Petanque Tonk.
Yeah,
Petanque
sounds like a party to me.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah. So that's happening later today, and it's free. There's Sing Out for Pete Seeger is tonight at the First Unitarian Church at 7:30. So much going on. Richie Cole.
Oh, yeah.
You know the sax player, cool. Richie Cole?
Yep.
Just moved to Pittsburgh.
Oh, I didn't know he moved here.
Which amazes me. I only found out about that. We should be talking about you, but I saw Richie Cole was playing at the James Street, and I'm thinking, wasn't he just at the James Street a couple of weeks ago? And then I started digging, and it's like, wow, Richie Cole lives here now. He has some family here. So
that's awesome.
He moved here from New Jersey, which is, if you don't know, forgive me if you don't know who Richie Cole is. Great jazz sax player. I had a feeling Daryl would know him since he mentioned his love of jazz. I want to talk a little bit about recording and where you're playing out, but why don't we hear another song first? What would you like to do?
You bet. So this is another song that I wrote in Mexico. It's called "If You Won't, I Will." It's sort of a dare in my mind, and it's sort of a combination of a flamenco feel and sort of a reggae feel. I'm sort of bringing together those two kind of worlds a little bit. It involves some percussion on the guitar, which is something that I've always enjoyed, and I think that might be because I played drums when I was very young. I love having rhythm present, even when I'm doing the solo guitar stuff. I always like there to be a pulse, a backbeat, something there. So this is "If You Won't, I Will."
Daryl Sean at the Saturday Light Brigade. That one was fun, and
it was fun to play.
It was. I was thinking about that. You really, I mean, most musicians do enjoy, look like they're enjoying playing, but you really do look like you enjoy. I mean, you look like you're really enjoying, is what I mean to say.
It's I'm just, having a great time.
Fun, and you know, you mentioned you played in bands a lot. Is there something? I mean, bands can be tough, I would think, because there's really a lot of communication required, and what you're doing is so intricate. I would think that you're probably enjoying being a solo artist.
Yeah, you know, you're right, and even though it was sort of a natural evolution where I was playing in the bands for a while and having fun doing it, for sure, you know, and I enjoyed things about the bands, but I always liked very small bands. I liked just having three people in the band, you know, having it very, 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 very small, very economical. But then I sort of got tired of the rock scene, and I was sort of missing the other influences, being able to put in the flamenco influence, the jazz influence. And when I moved to Mexico and started doing this thing on my own, I started to so enjoy the fact that I can make decisions on the fly.
That's exactly what I was trying to express. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, I can speed something up. I can slow it down. I can make it twice as long. I can do whatever. And I love that freedom. I don't have to turn around and, you know, talk to other people and try to get consensus about whether we're going to do this or that. I can just do it.
Yeah. And even if you've got such a relationship that you can take over like that with others and it's understood, just conveying it and communicating it so that others follow along is not always so easy.
Right, right.
And the larger the number of group, the more chances to be misunderstood.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in addition to that, there's also the more practical thing that led me to keep on being solo, which is that I love touring. I love playing. I love touring. I've hit, I think, 32 or 33 states, a number of the provinces in Canada, various places in Mexico. And as a solo guy, it's really easy to do that. In fact, I used to tour by Greyhound and Amtrak. I could just hop on the bus or the train with the guitar, and I'm good. The band goes with me. I don't have to worry about drums and amps and this stuff.
Or schedules.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just me. As long as you get me there, like, I can play. So I really like that about the solo thing, too. It just makes it all really easy for me. It just feels kind of effortless. I just make the decisions and I go with it.
Daryl's last name is spelled S-H-A-W and Daryl with one R. And if you go to darylshawn.com, you can learn more about him. He's also got a Bandcamp site, too. I noticed he does have a gig coming up, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday at Acoustic Music Works, Steve Miklas there, and he'll be playing there. And also, if you go to darylshawn.com, there is a 7-song mix that you can download at no charge if you're really enjoying what you're hearing. There are also several prior CDs on the delightfully named Tender Entropy label. I like that very much. And May 4th, coming up this Monday, he'll be starting a crowd-sourced fundraiser for his forthcoming CD, and we can talk a little bit about that maybe after the next song. But go to darylshawn.com for more information. What would you like to do next?
So I'm going to do a song called Path to Huashan, and there's two things I want to say about the song. First is that Huashan is a mountain in China, and there are amazing videos on YouTube of climbing this mountain. You start out walking up about 1,000 stone steps, and then to get the rest of the way up the mountain, you basically cling to the cliffside, and there's these little boards about 10 inches wide nailed to the side of the mountain.
Wow.
And you crawl along them, and if you make it, if you don't fall off the side of the mountain, there's a tea house on top, so you can have a nice cup of tea when you get there. And I've just been fascinated by the mountain. It looks beautiful. I'm not sure I would actually climb it. If you drop me from a helicopter, I might do it. But I've been just fascinated by that, by the ascent, and by just the difficulty and the sort of insanity of it.
And like the first thing I'm thinking of is like, how do you heat the tea? I guess you start a fire, and you know, and what happens when you run out of tea?
Right.
And
yeah.
Is there anybody there to have tea with?
Right.
And are there crumpets? You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's fascinated me for a while. And this song uses these little implements that my father made. What I wanted to do was make my guitar sound like a koto, Japanese koto, or a Chinese guzheng, which is a very, very long instrument that sits on the floor. You can play on either side of these bridges, and it has a very kind of twangy sound. And I described to my father, who's a woodworker, kind of what I had in mind, and he came up with these little wooden bridges, or like little wooden triangles that fit over the strings. And you'll be able to hear that it makes the guitar sound completely different.
Wow. So what he's done is he's threaded two of these on the fretboard, and in essence, he now has three playable regions of the guitar, where previously he essentially had one.
Yep, exactly. So I can play on either side of these bridges, and I've played around with them for years, and finally I wrote a song. For years I just kind of improvised with them, and finally I wrote a song which takes advantage of them. So this is called Path to Huashan.
Daryl Sean, and that was really neat. I was watching those devices. I don't know if you've named them yet.
Not yet. I was thinking maybe Doug.
Doug? Yeah. You can name each of them. What's your dad's name?
You're right. Wesley.
Wesley. Wes. So they could be the Wesley.
But, Wesley trio.
They're almost like miniature capos. Imagine, right? Because you've sort of, because it's like being able to put a capo on one string at a time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Except the only difference is that you can play on both sides of the string, Whereas a capo, if you play on the other side, it won't really have.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. But you're right in that it stops it. Stops it short like a capo.
It stops it short, and there's is there a notch in it to grab the fretboard?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really neat to see those. I suspect you can probably. I don't know if there's a video on your website showing you using those or not.
There is. Yep.
It would. I think you would enjoy seeing that if you get a chance to stop by DarylSean.com. Hello to Larry in Elwood City. Thanks for being here. I'm glad you're enjoying Daryl playing, and good morning to Vanessa as well. Van, good to have you here. So the new CD, you pretty much know what you want to record and are looking to get some support to help pay it forward, I guess.
Yep, exactly. And you know that the song I just played is going to be part of that recording process. I'm really excited about it. So I've done three CDs up till now, and they've all been like homemade affairs, pretty much. The first two I recorded in Oaxaca in a concrete block room by myself, and the last one I also put together kind of by myself in New York. But I've really been experiencing a very nice reaction from shows and online, and just really feel like I'm starting to sort of hit my stride, I guess, with the music. And it feels like now's the time to sort of step up and make like a real professional sounding recording that really makes the songs sound good, sound like what I actually sound like when I'm playing in a room. So I've got the songs all planned out, and I've got a studio picked out here in Pittsburgh called Audible Images. It's a beautiful, beautiful studio. And I can't do it alone. And I've never done a crowdfunding thing before, but this seemed like the time to do it. And it's been great. I've been getting expressions of support already. I'm real excited, and it launches Monday, which is just a really exciting point.
And
will
there be a place on your website linking to it?
Yep.
Is that the so if you go to DarylSean.com,
yep,
you'll find it there. And you know, it's cool. We've been engaged in a couple crowdfunding campaigns here. Really, only one that I would call in the true sense of the word, where dollars went to a particular item, and it's remarkable what many people can do when they're working together to make it happen, and also what a relatively small donation can do in terms of making something possible. And if you want more art in the world, more music in the world, more creativity in the world, that's how you support it.
Absolutely, so. Yep.
We're probably going to have time for two more songs, cool. I think, as long as you feel comfortable with a couple more.
Oh, yeah. I'll play all day if you let me. Yeah, I'm going to do a tune called All Is Forgiven. And this was on my last album, which was called In Place. And there's a concept. There's always a concept behind my songs. I put a lot of thought into the title and the idea behind the songs, even though there's no words in the tunes themselves. And this one is sort of... it's for everyone who's ever sort of had someone do them wrong, and also for everyone who's ever wronged someone else, and that's probably about all of us. And this is sort of a very hopeful tune that in some way there can be some healing on both sides. It's called All Is Forgiven. Thank you.
a nice song. It's funny, as that song was ending, and I kind of got lost in it, which I think happens with a lot of your songs. It depends, but I sort of was lost in thought and almost in a trance-like way. As it ended, I was thinking, that's kind of a nice lullaby sound at the end. And then I went back and thought about the name of the song and the purpose of the song, and that is how you should feel at the end of that, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
With the peace and forgiveness and the ability to rest easy when all is forgiven. So
That's absolutely right. You got it. You nailed it, Larry.
Yeah. Well, I nailed it. It's interesting. My mind didn't nail it. My subconscious did, or my ears did, just by as I was listening to it.
Cool.
Daryl Shawn, again, you can find him. It's Daryl. I don't know if Daryl's usually spelled with one R or two.
I don't know. There are so many spellings. It is such a pain in the butt. There's two R's, there's L's, there's E's in there sometimes. It makes no sense.
So it's the one R, D-A-R-Y-L, and then Sean isn't much better, but he's the Sean that a child would pronounce correctly.
Yes.
Instead of saying C-A-N, it's just S-H-A-W-N.
Yes. It's the only logical spelling, I think.
Yeah. DarylSean.com, and that's where you can find a way that you can download his 7-CD mix, or 7-song mix, a way that you can pick up past CDs, and starting May 4th, support the crowdsourced campaign for the next CD. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Larry. This is really fun.
Yeah, and I'll let you close this out.
Cool. So this song is called So Absolutely So, and I wrote it for a wedding of some friends of mine. They asked me for a recessional piece, and this is what I came up with, and I played it very sort of quiet and politely during the ceremony, but I realized as I've been playing it since then that it's really meant to kind of rock out, so it's letting its hair down these days. And this tune is also going to be on the new album, and it's really one of my favorites. So it's called So Absolutely So.
Thanks to Daryl Sean.